the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is in our midst. Brethren in Christ, we know from the book of Leviticus that the people of the Old Testament used to make the burnt offerings from the herd as a sacrifice to the Lord. The bull should be slaughtered before the Lord, and the priests offer the blood, dashing the blood against all sides of the altar, that is at the entrance of the tent meeting. And they put fire on the altar and arrange wood on the fire and arrange the parts with the head and the suet on the wood that is on the fire on the altar. Then they turn the whole into smoke on the altar as a burnt offering. What a great difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Imagine that Father John, when he makes the prophecies, or the proskomithi, and properly should be called the sacrifice, every Sunday morning, preparing such a sacrifice with his gold vestment. I'm sure that all our vestments would be splashed and tainted by the blood of these burnt offerings. And the altar society would be then busy every Sunday caring for them and for cleanliness of the altar. Imagine us carrying the meat, such as the head and the suet, in the great entrance to be placed on the holy altar. Imagine us dashing the blood against all sides of this radiant altar. Imagine that we are eating animals and we are drinking their blood. Instead, in cutting with the spear at the right edge of the lamb, which is in the middle part, Father John every Sunday morning says, like the lamb that is led to the slaughter, and in cutting along the left edge of the lamb, he says, and like a blameless sheep that before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Then he inverts on the discus the lamb, placing it the face of the seal down, and he makes a deep crosswise cut on the back of the lamb without cutting through it, saying, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world and is sacrificed for the life of the world and its salvation. Then he pierced the side and he says that the blood and the water came from the side of the Savior. So he does the sacrifice every Sunday without the shedding of the blood. It was impossible for animal sacrifices to take away sins. They were an illustration that God would provide the perfect sacrifice for their sins. The animal sacrifices were just a picture, a prefiguration of what God did on the cross. Christ is the only acceptable sacrifice that truly forgives sins and gives us eternal life. Therefore, Christ, if you look back into the gospel of this morning, Christ criticized the Pharisees when they accused him of eating with the tax collectors and sinners, saying, "I desire mercy and not sacrifice." Christ reminded them of this prophecy of the Old Testament so they might learn that all things were spoken of previously were accomplished in him, clearly revealing that he himself is the sacrifice. He himself is the temple. So he could say, "I tell you, something rather greater than the temple is here." It means himself. So the business of our salvation lies not in shedding the blood of sacrifices, but in mercy. When the ancient practice of sacrifice was stopped, the power of mercy became more clearly known. Mercy makes people gentle toward those who are close to them. It guided them towards being more sympathetic, the slain victim pleasing to God is the salvation of your neighbor. And as we enter into the Advent, that's why we are wearing red this morning, we do not abstain from eating meat and dairy products only, but we are asked to do two things: to guide the sick into healing and to obtain and do mercy. In the church, we do not have strict regulations. We do not excommunicate anyone who violates a small precept or fails to practice the church fasts, because legalism and mercy are not compatible. Our fast is just a training period for the soul to be healed and to be filled with mercy. Jesus never reproved those who did not adhere to the letter of the law. On the contrary, his reproof goes to all adhere to the bloody sacrifices and neglect the salvation of tax collectors and sinners. Jesus shows here not only of those who show mercy by giving worldly goods, but of all those who demonstrate mercy in their actions. There are many ways to show mercy. The kind of compassion referred here is not simply giving alms to the poor or orphans or to the widows. The kind of compassion is often found even among those who hardly know God. You will be compassionate if you show compassion even to your enemy and treat the enemy well. For it is written, "Love your enemies and treat well those who hate you." I think Christianity is the only religion which teaches that we should love our enemies. We saw that the tax collectors this morning came together because they were of the same trade, such as Matthew, was. And Matthew took pride in the visit of Jesus, the Messiah, and invited all the tax collectors together. And then Jesus applied every form of healing. Not only while he was engaged in discussion or healing or refuting his enemies, but even at the breakfast, he used to restore persons who were in bad condition. By means of these practices, he taught us that every moment and every action can offer benefit to us. And those of you who are physicians would know that if they do not put up with the decay of the persons who are sick, they would not set them free from their sickness. And since all of you are called to be the spiritual physicians to the lost sheep, you are called to put up with the ills of the soul. And as Jesus was feasting with the tax collectors, not on material food, but on their return, so you should call all your neighbors back through feasting, through human affliction, through human affection, enjoying yourselves with their pleasant conversation while reclining at table. Therefore, when you keep the Lent and do almsgiving, do not forget to go forth and reveal the divine mercy to those who hardly know God and heal them to be with Christ. In this way is the only way that your fasting is fulfilled. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.